track 13. And unusually, we have two more feature items for you this week. The first, from TNF Soundings, is a piece which explains the options available to help visually impaired and disabled people cast their votes in July's general election. The article was written by Heather and is read by Colin. It's followed by an amusing piece from the Pickwick Papers about a 19th century election, and I'll introduce that separately after we hear from Colin.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, this is Colin. With a general election now set for Thursday, the 4th of July, 2024, this article by Heather sets out what visually impaired and disabled voters can expect when they arrive to cast their vote. Regardless of your level of sight or other disabilities, one of the first things to remember is that everyone now must show photo ID to be able to vote. If you've voted in local elections over the past year, you'll already be aware of the ID requirements, but this is the first general election to be held since photo ID for voting became compulsory in May 2023. If you don't take your ID to the polling station, you won't be allowed to cast your vote. Acceptable photo ID includes national documents, such as a passport or driving licence, or locally issued documents from England, Scotland, Wales or Northern Ireland. For example, a blue badge, older person's bus pass, or disabled person's bus pass. To be able to vote, you also need to be over 18 and on the electoral register held by your local authority. If you're not already on the register, the deadline for applying is Tuesday, the 18th of June. Moving on to assistance for individual voters, the Electoral Commission sets out rules for election officials and what they must make available to enable visually impaired and disabled people to vote independently and in secret. All polling stations must be wheelchair accessible and are required to have the following in place to help visually impaired or disabled voters. A tactile voting machine that fits over the ballot paper to help make sure you mark your cross in the correct place. A large print copy of the ballot paper, although this is for reference only and you can't cast your vote on the large print version. Magnifiers to help you see the print on the ballot paper. Additional lighting. Wheelchair height voting booths. Grips to help voters hold the pencil steady while voting. Assistance from polling station staff to be guided to the voting booth and to mark your vote if needed. Election officers are also able to provide additional equipment to help people vote, such as audio devices and hearing induction loops. However, these are not compulsory, so if you need this type of help, you can contact your local council in advance to make a request. By planning ahead, there are also other ways to help you cast your vote. A sighted companion. Visually impaired voters can bring a companion to help them vote on the 4th of July. Your chosen companion can guide you and assist you in the polling station instead of the election staff. They could also vote on your behalf, if that's your preference. A companion can be anyone over 18. They should take photo ID, and they'll be required to make a written declaration that you've asked for assistance. Appoint a proxy. If sight loss or disability makes it difficult to get to your polling station, you can appoint someone you trust to vote on your behalf. This is called voting by proxy, and you'll need to register your request at least 6 working days before the election. For this election, the deadline is Wednesday, the 26th of June. You'll need to complete and return an application form available from your local authority. Unless you're registered blind, you will need a professional, such as a doctor or social worker, to support your application. postal voting. A postal vote allows you to cast your vote at home instead of going to the polling station. Once you've voted, you'll return the ballot paper in the post so that it can be counted with all the other votes. The deadline for applying for a postal vote this year is Wednesday, the 19th of June.
Our final feature this week is also election-related. It takes me back to my school days. I went to a grammar school in Barnet in Hertfordshire, which was run a bit like a very minor, public school. During the autumn term, we had a speech day when there was a guest speaker, various prizes were given out, and there were three orations or recitations. One was in French, one in Latin, and one in English. The following year, they would be in German, Greek, and English, and all would be very serious. Until sometime in the late 1950s, when our English teacher decided that I could deliver a light-hearted English oration, something that the audience of parents and boys could actually enjoy. This is the piece I delivered that year. It's taken from the Pickwick Papers and tells of Mr. Pickwick and the Eatanswill election. An election is being held in the constituency of Eatanswill. The candidates are Mr. Fizkin and Samuel Slumkey. Here, Mr. Perker, Slumkey's agent, is explaining to Mr. Pickwick the plans to get votes for Slumkey. Any similarity with current events is entirely coincidental. "You come down here to see an election, eh? Spirited contest, my dear sir, very much so indeed. We've opened all the public houses in the place. It has left our opponent nothing but the beer shops. Masterly policy, my dear, eh?" The little man smiled complacently and took a large pinch of snuff. "And what is the likely result of the contest?" inquired Mr. Pickwick. "Why, doubtful, my dear sir. Rather doubtful as yet," replied the little man. "Fizkin's people have got 33 voters in the lock-up coach house on the White Hart."
"In the coach house?" said Mr. Pickwick, much astonished.
"They keep 'em locked up there till they want 'em," resumed the little man. "The effect, you see, is to prevent our getting at 'em. Even if we could, it would be of no use, for they keep them very drunk on purpose. Smart fellow, Fizkin's agent. Very smart fellow indeed."
"We are pretty confident, though," said Mr. Perker, his voice sinking almost to a whisper. "We had a little tea party here last night. 45 women, my dear sir, and gave every one of them a green parasol when she went away. 45 green parasols at 7 and 6 each. Got the votes of all their husbands and half their brothers. You can't walk half a dozen yards up the street without encountering half a dozen green parasols."
"Is everything ready?" said Samuel Slumkey to Mr. Perker.
"Nothing has been left undone, my dear sir. There are 20 washed men at the street door for you to shake hands with, and 6 children in arms that you're to pat on the head and ask the age of. Be particular about the children, my dear sir. It has a great effect, that sort of thing. And perhaps if you could manage to kiss one of them, it would produce a very great impression on the crowd. I think it would make you very popular."
"Very well," said Samuel Slumkey with a resigned air. "Then it must be done. That's all."
"Arrange the procession," cried the 20 committee men.
There was a moment of awful suspense as the procession waited for Samuel Slumkey to step into his carriage. Suddenly the crowd set up a great cheering.
"He has come out," said little Mr. Perker.
Another cheer, much louder.
"He's shaken hands with the men," cried the little agent.
Another cheer, far more vehement.
"He has patted the babies on the head," said Mr. Perker, trembling with anxiety.
A roar of applause rent the air.
"He's kissed one of them,"
exclaimed the delighted little man.
A second roar.
"He's kissed another! He's kissing them all!" screamed the little gentleman.
And hailed by the deafening shouts of the crowd, the procession moved on.